Jonathan, how you doing, buddy?
Great. How are you guys? I'm impressed you have your voice. After six high school football games yesterday.
One thing we can always do is talk, Jonathan. That's pretty much our only ability. That's our talent. But it was great. Special thanks to your family for opening up the doors again. And the state championship, I think, is phenomenal. Six true state championships, and it wouldn't happen without the Crafts. And the fact that they get to play on this field, it really magnifies the moment.
Well, thanks. We, the MIAA, all the kids, all the schools, this is easy to do. And as we've talked about, one of the great things that the old Foxborough did before they went to natural grass is you go down there and you'd see the Super Bowls, and it was something for us as soon as we went back to the artificial turf, the field turf here. It was something we wanted to do. Andre Tippett, who obviously the greatest defensive player in Patriots history, but he still talks about how when he was in high school, he got to play at the Meadowlands, and it was the crowning achievement of his high school career. And so to be able to make the building available to the kids competing for now a state championship, which was ultimately our dream, it's wonderful that could happen, and it's fun to watch the kids play and fun to watch you guys do it on television together.
And Tip and of course the Wilforks, DeAndre, who's
sure.
Bavarian, and Cody.
Kobe,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, there's some Patriot blood there.
We're turning out some high school football players here. I keep telling the guys they got to stay in the area after, and we'll keep getting their
That's
kids
right.
to
get
come out of New England.
Going.
Yeah.
You got to get them into Brookline.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But no, it was a great day, and the MIA, I think it came off swimmingly with the new format. Well, let's talk about your team, and of course, a win in Houston, and a win is a win is a win, but it wasn't easy last week.
It's human nature, though. John, in this league, you had the Carolina game, then you got the Denver game, which was one for the ages. Human nature to go in on the road and have a slow start. I mean, unfortunately, it lasted a little bit longer than we wanted to, but just human nature.
But they're good. Bill said it all week, and I know people gave him grief. First of all, just in the abstract, the difference between the best and worst teams in the NFL, that difference is so much smaller than the best and worst teams in any of the other professional sports leagues. And emotion and physicality and game planning has so much more to do with it, too. So you've got to go into a game prepared and ready to play, or you're going to lose. I don't care who the opponent is. And Bill said all week to our team, these guys are really good. I think now seven of their losses are 3 or 4 points or less.
Tight game.
That means you could have won every one of those games. If you lost by 3 or 4 points, one or two things goes your way. Their record is totally flip-flopped around. And sitting there watching Andre Johnson in person, who I've gotten to see now a few times, he's awesome. He's really good, and their defensive front seven is excellent. So, fortunately, we came out of there with the win. But if you aren't prepared to go into a game and start fast, you're going to be on your butt no matter who you're playing in this league.
Well, and in terms of the Houston situation, they let the head coach go this week, and it's amazing how things change. And, you know, it's really hard, I think, as a coach to survive a double-digit losing streak in this league. But I think what the Houston situation shows is once you get there, it's really hard to stay there.
Well, a year ago at this time, Houston was arguably in power rankings.
11-1, that's right.
They were the number one. I don't know this, but I assume they were ranked like that, and they had a couple of strong seasons, and you just see how fast it can turn. And they have much of the same cast of characters around them. There hasn't been a big turnover on that team, and it just shows you that you take an ounce of attention off the ball or something in the chemistry of a team changes, and it can turn on you fast. And I think Bob McNair and whoever else is working to make the decisions down there, making a switch in season is always a tough thing to do, and obviously double-digit loss streaks, that helps it along. But I think one of the reasons that they probably waited this long is all the factors you think about before you're willing to do something like that.
Well, it's a tough thing to do. You went through it a long, long, long time ago in the off season. I mean, just think about how lucky the Patriots are. But, I mean, when you make a coaching change like that, what goes through an owner's head? I mean, it, like you said, it's tough enough during the year, but even in the off season, it's a challenge. What goes through ownership's mind at that point?
The biggest thing I think that you're trying to weigh is, has this person had enough time? Now, I don't know all the factors around Kubiak. I think the hardest time to make this decision is if you've made a change and the coach is 2 to 3 years in and you've started to see some things, but it's not as fast as you like. I think we would probably always, if we had confidence in the person, err on the side of trying to give them a little bit longer runway. It takes time to rebuild a program and get it made in your image. And as long as you see the people in the building responding to and having respect for the coach, regardless of the results, I think that's the thing that you have to go with first. Then there has to be a chemistry where you feel the top football people are able to work well together. And if you have those two things, I think you probably err on going a little bit longer. In the case of Kubiak, I guess he had been there 7, 8, 9. He had been there a while.
He'd been there,
right?
A while.
I think it's probably at least 7 years, maybe 8 years.
I think it might have got to 9. I can't
9.
Remember.
So
exactly.
I think I don't know this, but my guess is you have an 11-game losing streak off of being at the pinnacle. It's been that amount of time. Probably something has changed materially, and it's time to make a change. But that's me speculating. I don't know that.
Mike Tomlin in the Baltimore game got a little too close to the field of play. He tried to come out and explain it. A lot of people didn't like the explanation. But the league came down pretty hard on him to the point where there was a fine and the possibility of some sort of draft penalty as well. I know the integrity of play in the league is number one to Roger Goodell and the shield, but you know, that whole situation in its totality, the way the league reacted, and I think it just comes down to the one thing the coaches can't do is interfere with the people on the field. But it seems like the NFL sent a pretty strong message, and this is nipped in the bud, at least you would think.
Forget being on the field. You just can't even be in the white border that you see right here. And so he was all the way through the white border, and you know, the guy said he didn't know the play was coming. You have to take him at his word. But I think the league wanted to make it very clear to any other coach, you better make sure where you are and you better not get on the field. And my guess would be if that happened again anytime soon, because of the visibility that this got, the punishment would probably be greater. And the idea that somebody in the bench area could affect a play on the field, and then more importantly, a scoring play, which is what that could have been, which would have a major impact on the outcome of the game, is something that we can't let happen. It just can't happen.
You know, with the Browns in town, someone back at Comcast Sportsnet mentioned trying to get up the old Belichick versus his old team, and I was like, well, that's not really his team. It's Cleveland, but the Ravens are really the Browns, and then I went through the whole history thing. But, you know, look back on that time, because when Bill was with Cleveland, he did beat the Patriots in a playoff game. You were out of Municipal Stadium, and it just seems like a really long time ago.
That was the game where Bill Parcells, who was the running back, oh, God, that we started. He pulled up a back to start, and I don't remember his name. What I do remember about that day in Cleveland is that it was very cold, and Belichick's team beat us pretty darn good. And it was our first year in the league. We had won 7 games to make the playoffs, and we were in that old Municipal Stadium, and the old locker room for the visiting team was basically like the room where the sewage pump was for the building and a heating boiler that was about 60 years old. And like literally guys were sharing lockers, and it was not pretty. And then the game wasn't pretty. Bill B kicked our butts. And us, it was a good lesson. You think you're going, but you know, you think the playoffs are easy and you're going there all the time. And we also thought Parcells would have it on Belichick, and that's where we learned it was the other way around.
So did you see something special in Belichick then? Were you starting to think, I mean, did you ever imagine that he would be obviously you never imagine he's going to create a dynasty, but did you think that he was going to have a long career as a head coach?
I don't know that we thought that way. We were excited for that game. We thought we might win. It was Bledsoe's second year. The team was on the uptick. I think where we really started to get to know Bill is when he joined us for the 96 season, right after Cleveland moved, and then they fired Bill.
Right.
So it was 2 years. It was 2 years. It was two seasons.
96,
right? It was one more. It was 12 months after that game that we had there. And when Cleveland fired Bill, Bill was still a free agent. I think it was around the combine. And that's when Parcells said he wanted to hire him as an assistant head coach. And I think that's where that season in 96 is when we really got to know Bill and understand his special skills, both in the coaching area, but then in the personnel and salary cap era. Really, none of the coaches on our staff at that time had any strategic understanding at a deep level of what the salary cap could mean competitively if you had a coach who really, really got it. And it was obvious talking to Bill that he got it.
I thought the initial thought would have been get the hell out of Cleveland, because that place is a toilet, I'll say it. And Municipal,
hey, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there. And
it is that the oddest place for the Rock and Roll Hall
of Fame?
Or New York or Detroit?
It should be in New York.
Like
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is pretty awesome. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
I'll take your word for it. There was a lot of discussion as to who should and shouldn't be in. But I'll leave that for like Hardy and the smart music and like Zoe.
That's one of the great things about Cleveland. And the new stadium's nice, but that old Municipal Stadium, the one amazing ball fan, when you walk by that dog pound, that's worse. That was worse than the black hole in Oakland. They were the most passionate fans, and you would get pelted with these big milk bone dog biscuits. and you weren't involved with the Cleveland Browns. You were getting pelted with the things, and those were great fans.
All right, Jonathan, thank you very much. We appreciate it. President of the Patriots, Jonathan Kraft, inside the owner's box.